If you're watching online, thank you for joining us this morning. Our heart and prayer is that God will just speak into your life today and that you'll have an encounter with Jesus by the time you leave today. We're going to jump right in this morning. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking about how to face your giants. And so we've had a couple of weeks there where I've taught about that, and I just can't get past it. And I want to have another message for you today about facing your giants. And actually, I have another one after this, but I'm just not sure. I'm going to let the Lord lead, okay? But I feel like God is speaking to us about how to face our giants. And, we've been talking about the things that hold us back. The things that, and if we're honest, I believe that we all have things in our life that hold us back from living the life that God has planned for us. Things that hold us back, like overwhelming things, oppression, and they intimidate us. Things that keep us from the fullness of God and the things that He has for us. Giants, if you will. All right, giants that are mean, they're ruthless, they're ugly, they drool, they're relentless. But we've said over the last few weeks that it's time in Jesus' name to face our giants, and we're going to move forward into the life that God has for us. Amen? Anybody moving forward today? I pray that we all are. And we said that a giant is anything that stands between us and the promises of God that feels impossible to overcome. And there's all kinds of giants represented in this room this morning. And I don't want you to let anybody tell you that your giant is not real. And it's as real as anybody else's. And anything that stands between you and the promise of God is a giant. And you might ask, well, what are the promises of God? The promises of God, they are everything that belongs to you and I right now through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus died for so that you and I could live this life that He has for us, full of peace and joy and love and freedom and breakthrough and provision. Yet sometimes it feels like these giants are impossible to overcome, doesn't it? It feels like the more that we look at them, the bigger that they become. And the more that we think about them, we just feel like the victory is never going to get there. We're never going to have that freedom from the giants in our life. And so what we're doing here is we're talking about the things like anxiety and depression and worry and stress and fear and shame and rejection and insecurity. Giants can be anything. They can be control. They can be responsibility. They can be performance. It can be bitterness. It can be religion. It can be comfort. It can be so many things in our life. You name it. It's anything that stands between you and the promises of God that feel like it's impossible to overcome. And so what I've been talking to you about through this series, or I hate to call it a series because I didn't plan a series, but it's through these messages, is I hope that the things in your life, and this is going to sound weird, but I do. I hope that the things in your life are being exposed, because God's word exposes the truth, and the truth is designed to set each and every one of us free. Amen? Amen. And so what we're doing is we're talking about the real life stuff, the stuff that the world is desperate for answers for, the stuff that we see in articles about on Facebook and we hear about on the news, the stuff that we're dying to find freedom from and victory over. Amen? But yet, for some reason, we don't want to talk about this stuff in church. It's amazing how we all know that we've got these giants in our life, but for some reason, this is not where we want to talk about them. You see, we'd rather get on Facebook and find out how to deal with our giants on there and talk about them than to come in here and talk about them with people of God. Now, it got a little bit quiet on me there, and that's okay. But I think there's two reasons maybe we're quiet this morning. I think one is I think that it's shame. You see, we have so much shame over the giants that are in our life, and it feels like church isn't a safe place to come and to acknowledge the brokenness that we have, because we're so close to the people around us and we don't want to feel exposed. We don't want them to know the things that are actually going on in our life, and so we don't want to bring them out of the darkness and into the light, if you will. The second reason I think that we got quiet there is I think that a lot of us believe that Jesus is irrelevant. I think that a lot of us, we're thinking, I don't even know if Jesus can help me with my giant, or that He actually would. And so we try to find worldly solutions for our spiritual problems. But come on, I'm going to tell you, if we can't talk about the giants in the church, if we can't talk about them here, where in the world can we talk about them? Amen. Hear me. I want you to understand there is no shame because you have a giant in your life this morning. There is no condemnation for those that are in Jesus. It's okay to struggle. It's not okay to lie about it. And it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That's what we've been saying over the last few weeks. And so we've got to bring these things out of the darkness and into the light. You see, confession is the beginning of healing. And when we start getting honest and humble ourselves, that's where we start finding the breakthrough through that we're craving this morning. Listen, your struggle is not your identity today. I hope you know that. This is the safest place to bring things out of the darkness into the light because Jesus is the most relevant thing in our lives this morning. Worldly solutions cannot solve spiritual problems. So hear me, if Jesus isn't at the center, if he's not at the center of your plan to deal with your giant, you will never find victory. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. And sometimes what we want, though, is we want to have that quick, convenient, easy, worldly solution to our deep spiritual problems, and it just doesn't work. If Jesus is not at the center, no matter how much you numb it or how much you try to figure it out, and how you try to cope with it, you will not solve your giant. You will not defeat your giant because it requires the most relevant thing in this universe, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, the very fact that there's a giant in your life is a good thing. You're like, Pastor Jack, what are you talking about? It's a good thing. You're sitting there thinking, why in the world is it a good thing? It's a good thing because that means that you have an opportunity for victory. Amen. It means that it's an opportunity for you and I to become desperate and dependent upon Jesus Christ himself. It's an opportunity for Jesus to show his power and his authority that he already has at work in your life. Amen. In fact, I love this verse, 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange is happening to you." So what he's saying here is he's saying, don't be surprised that there's a giant in your life. Don't be surprised. There's nothing wrong with you. What's happening is that you're moving forward. And as you begin to move forward along the way, giants are going to show up. And he says, hey, the very fact that there's a giant in your life means that you're moving in the right direction. Amen? And so let me build your faith just a little bit this morning. Think about this. Your life is already littered with a lot of fallen giants. If you were to look into your past, you would be shocked at all the giants that have already fallen. The giants that you were dealing with 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. You know, those things, you don't even think about them today. You don't even think about it. Why? It's because in Jesus' name, you've already found victory over those giants in your life. So if those giants can fall, why can't the giant you're facing today fall? Amen? If those giants can fall, why can't the giants that you're talking about today fall? Sometimes we've got to look back to have the faith to move forward, don't we? It's like after David kills the Goliath, you know what he does? Goliath had this big old sword that he cut his head off with, right? It's huge, way bigger than David. He's just this little shepherd boy. But what does David do? David probably took that sword and put it into his tent and put it over in the corner. And every once in a while, whenever David was facing another giant, I believe that David, I can only imagine him walking into that tent and he sees that sword sitting there and he said, you know what? If God can make that giant fall, he can make this giant fall. Amen? That's why in Romans 8:37 it says this. It says, in all things, against any and every giant in your life, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, there's victory available through Jesus. And so over the last few weeks, I've tried to encourage you. I've tried to help you to understand that your future is on the other side of the giant that you're facing, the one that you don't want to face. And just because it hasn't fallen yet doesn't mean it's not going to. And so today, I'm not going to give a recap over the last few weeks. If you've missed those weeks, I want you to know we've already done three lessons. If you would, I would love for you to go back online and catch up on those. And what you're going to do is you're going to be stewarding God's word when you do that. And that brings us into my lesson today for lesson four. You see, today's lesson on how to face your giant, whatever it might be, is one of this lesson here is one of the most important things that you can that we can learn out of this whole series. Is if you don't grab a hold of this, I'm just going to tell you straight up, if you don't grab a hold of what we're talking about today, you're never going to find victory over the giants in your life. Okay? So you ready for lesson number four? All right. So if you're going to face the giants in your life, whatever they are, you simply have to know this one thing. You have to discover and hold on to the promises of God. You've got to discover and hold on to the promise of God. In other words, you've got to arm yourself with the Word of God. And if you don't get this lesson, I just want you to understand, you will not find the victory over the giants in your life. But if you'll engage the Scriptures, you'll discover that every giant killer in this Word, every one of them, loved the Word of God. When you begin to read and study about these giant killers, they loved the Word of God. Whether it was Moses or David or Joshua or Jesus or the disciples or even the people in this church that love the Word of God that are finding victory, it's because they're finding it in this Word right here. Amen. You see, the people that loved the Word of God in the Bible, man, I'm telling you, they didn't just love it. They needed it. They wanted it. They meditated on it. They memorized it. They quoted it. They studied it. It was in their spirit. It was in their mind. It was in their heart. It was in their conversation, on their tongue. Every single giant killer loved the promises of God. And what they did is they discovered and they held on to them. And that's how they were victorious. In fact, if you think about David again, that little shepherd boy that fought Goliath, if you'll look at some of the, he wrote the book of Psalms. If you'll look in the Psalms, you'll find so many things where he says, like in Psalms 119, 28, he says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." You see, in other words, David is saying it was God's word that gave him the strength to fight that giant in the first place. Or how about Joshua? When we look at Joshua, this is the guy that was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, a place full of giants. And God says, "Hey, Joshua, you're going to lead my people and you're going to face the nation of giants. And here's what I want to say to you." And he says it in Joshua 1:8. He says this, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." Or the word of God, or the promises, okay? He's saying, "Do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then," listen to this, "then you will be prosperous and successful." God says to Joshua, "You know what? You're fixing to face nations, and it's full of giants, Joshua. But what you need to do is you need to discover and hold on to my promises. Arm yourself with my word, and then you'll be prosperous, and then you'll be successful over every giant that you're going to face." And can I tell you this morning, the same is true for you and me. If you and I, we want to prosper, and we want to succeed over the giants in our lives, we have got to arm ourselves with the word of God. And this is why so many of us, I believe, never find victory in our lives. You see, we treat this thing as casual, as optional. It doesn't fit into our busy lifestyle. We don't understand it sometimes. We don't have time for it. But what we do want is we want that quick Twitter verse, don't we? We don't really realize the value of this word right here. We don't understand it. We don't understand why we aren't finding victory. And you can't hold on to something that you haven't discovered. You cannot hold on to something that you haven't discovered. And it's really hard to experience the promises of God if you don't know what they are. Amen? And this is why in John 8:32 it tells us, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In other words, when we don't know what God, when we don't know what he has said, well, then we're not going to experience the freedom that he's already given to us in Jesus' name. So here's the problem. There's a lot of things that we think God has promised us sometimes that he hasn't even promised us. And then there's a lot of amazing promises that he has given us, and we don't even know about them. And so what we do is we think about other things, like there's promises that God has given us, but then we don't even know some of them. And so we go around, we say things like, "God helps those who help themselves." Just so you know, that is not in the Bible, and that is not a promise of God, okay? But some people think that, and it's not. And so what we end up doing is we live this life short of the life that God had designed for us. In Psalm 16:5, it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines, or my promised land, your promised land, have fallen for me in pleasant places. In other words, you've got a promised land, you've got boundaries, you've got borders, and God has designed and he's promised those things just for you. And it's an abundant life. It's a life of freedom, a life of fullness and purpose and redemption. It's an amazing life of faith and hope and love and peace and joy. You see, the problem is for us is we don't know what that is. We don't know what the promise is. And so we have a lot of giants in our lives that we don't even realize are giants. We just say things like, oh, well, that's been there my whole life. I didn't realize it was even a giant. It's just always been there. And so for a lot of us, we live this really small life because we don't realize the fullness of what belongs to us. How many of you are ready to find out the fullness of what God has for us? Amen. Is this making sense to you this morning? You see, here's what we have to understand. Giants are empowered by human agreement. They're empowered by human agreement. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar. When you believe a lie, let's just think about it. We've talked about this last week. We said that all your giants have already been defeated in Jesus' name, didn't we? And so then why does it feel like they have more authority in our life? It's because we agree with them. You see, because we believe what they're telling us about our lives. We have to remember that Jesus called Satan the father of lies, didn't he? Which means that the only thing that a giant can spew out of his mouth is things like deception and accusation and condemnation. That's their language, and that's how they speak, and that's how they roar to you and I. And what we have got to understand is that the giant roars lies, but God whispers truth. And God's the quietest whisper can God from God has more power than 1,000 giants' roars. And so the question is are you agreeing with the whisper of God or the roar of the giant this morning? Come on, let's be honest, though. Giants have a lot to say, don't they? They have a lot to say. But you know who else does? God. He's got a lot to say. So if you're discovering and holding on to the roar of the giants, you're going to be defeated. But if you'll listen to the whisper of God, you'll have victory in him. Amen? But here's how we deal with this, and I'm trying to help you figure out just a practical ways to deal with our giant this morning. So you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is your sword, and it's how we arm ourselves. It's how you arm yourself and how you fight the lies of the giants in your life. What I love about this sword is that it does two things. This sword, it defends and it advances. The sword will defend you from the lies of the giant in your life that come at you, and it will also advance you into the truth and into the life that God already has made for you. Amen? And that's why in Hebrews 4:12 it says this. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." So God's word, it's alive, it's active. It has the power to take down the giants in your life, to knock down the lies, and to advance yourself into that truth that God has for us. Are we together on that this morning? Yes. All right. So here's what I want you to understand. I think that we come to battle sometimes unarmed. We show up to a real battle with a plastic sword, if you will. You see, can you imagine this? Imagine this. If you wonder why you don't have victory, I want you to think about this for just a moment in your mind's eye. Think about a real physical giant. You're fixing to face this real physical giant, not a spiritual giant, but a physical giant, just like David did. He's 9 feet tall. He's got body armor on. He's got weapons in every corner, and he's just looking at you, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness. And then he starts running at you, and you start thinking, well, I don't have a weapon. I don't have any way to defend myself. Can I tell you, that's the way it is in a spiritual life too. We sit there and the spiritual giant comes running at us and we start panicking because we don't have any weapon. And so we have to understand that anxiety and depression and shame, whatever we call it, is all armored up and it's nasty and it's drooling and it's coming at you. And when it starts coming at you, all we have is just a few token verses, like something you've seen on a monogram pillow or a picture on the wall or that little thing above your toilet. The Lord is good. Those kind of things. And the giant comes at us and we start reaching for a weapon that's not there. It's like a little plastic sword, and we try to defeat our giant with it. What does the word do, though? It empowers you and I to face the giants in our life by instructing you, correcting us, helping you discover what's truth and what's a lie. That's what this word can do for you and me. And whenever we begin to read it and we begin engaging into it, you and I, we become fully mature and we begin to be perfectly prepared to fulfill the destiny and the assignment that God has given each and every one of us. In other words, you can face any giant in your life because now you're armed for battle. You're armed for battle. And at some point, if you're serious about facing your giant, if I'm serious about facing mine, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to discover and hold on to the promises of God for yourself. And so here's what I want for you. Here's what I want for you. I want you to crave this. I want you to appreciate this because it's this that changes our life. It's not me and a word from me. It's a word from God. That's what changes our life. Amen? It's about Jesus and arming yourself to deal with the giants in your life. If Jesus needed the word of God, think about this. If Jesus needed the word of God to face the giant, how much more do you and I? A couple of weeks I told you about how Jesus, Satan tempted him in so many ways. And every time Satan would come at Jesus with a lie, Jesus would say, "It is written." He would say, "It is written." And then he would quote a promise from God. And if Jesus needed that, then how much more do you and I need it? You see, you can't say it is written if you don't know what is written. If you don't know what it says. Can I tell you, facing your giant without the word of God is like this. It's like saying, "I want to lose weight without dieting. I want to get that scholarship without doing my homework. I want to have the best marriage in this world without spending any time with my spouse. You see, I want to be financially free, but I don't want to save any money." That's what it's like whenever you're saying, "I want to go into battle, but I don't want to have the word of God with me." If Jesus needed it, how much more do you and I need it? In here are the promises for every giant that you and I face. And when those giants show up and they start roaring the lies, you need to knock them down. And I have a slide here. I want you to put up this slide. If your giant this morning is anxiety, you can say John 14:27, "I have peace of Jesus." If you're facing the giant of depression this morning, Romans 15:13 says, "He fills my heart with hope." When you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm rejected, nobody loves me," you can think Hebrews 13:5, "He will never leave me." How about when you're full of fear? Isaiah 41:10a says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." How about those of us that face shame this morning, the shame in our life? Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen? Can I tell you? Yes. The word of God is powerful. And can I tell you, lies can't stand in the face of truth. They have to fall. So let's stop empowering the giants. Honestly, I think sometimes it's through our own ignorance, and I hate that word, but sometimes we just don't know. And that's why in John 8:32, it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I'm convinced that many of us aren't free this morning is because we don't know the truth. Giants keep winning in our lives, not because Jesus isn't doing something. It's because we're not picking up the sword that he's already given us. Refusing to discover the promises of God is like choosing to stay in bondage. If you don't want to fight your giant with the promises of God, let me ask you, what do you want to fight it with? Worldly solutions? The wisdom from Facebook? Come on. Hosea 4:6 says this. It says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." Can I tell you that I'm tired of watching people? I'm tired of watching people get destroyed because they don't know the promises of God. They haven't experienced it for themselves. Can I tell you, it's hard to experience the promise of God when you don't know what they are. I'm afraid that sometimes we'd rather come in and we'd rather be entertained than empowered. comforted rather than challenged. You see, sometimes I think we would rather hear things that we agree with rather than the things that's going to cause us to rise up to a new level in our life. You see, you and I, we've got to discover and hold on to the promises of God. Think about David for just a minute, just the most, probably the most famous killer, giant killer in the Bible. I just want to read a few snippets from some of the things that he's written in the book of Psalms. When you begin to read the book of Psalms, you're going to hear the love that David had for God's word. I'm just going to read you a few of these. My passion and delight is in your word, for I love what you say to me. How I love and treasure the revelation of your word. Throughout the day, I fill my heart with its light. I refuse to turn from difficult truths, for you taught me to love your words. Can I tell you, I want you to love his word. I want to love his word. His word is active and his word is alive. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It's the bread of life. It's grace. It's truth. It's wisdom. It's the sword of defense. And we need to fall in love with God's word. Let me tell you a story. There was a man in Kansas working in a factory. This is a true story. It's written by an evangelist, Robert Sumner. And in his book, The Wonders of the Word of God, he tells this story. There was a man working in a factory, and there was an explosion, and it blew off both of his hands, and it messed his face up, and he lost eyesight in both eyes. And he was a new Christian when this happened, and he was just beginning to learn to love the Word of God. And one of his biggest disappointments was is that he could no longer read the Word of God. But then he heard about a lady in England that was reading by Braille with her lips. And he said, maybe I can learn that. And so he ordered a Braille Bible. And by the time this man wrote this book, this man had discovered by trying to read it with his lips that his lips had even been damaged in the blast. But one day when he was practicing and trying to learn how to read the Word of God, his tongue touched one of the bumps on the Braille, and he realized, hey, I can read it with my tongue. And by the time he had written this book, this man loved the Word of God so much, he had read it all the way through 4 times. Can I ask you, what's our excuse? Where is our love for the Word of God? Think about this, David the giant killer. In just a few moments, it just took him a few minutes, he killed Goliath, the giant of all giants. He was down. It only took him a few minutes, but David had studied the Word of God for years. Can I tell you, maybe if we'll spend more time discovering God's promise, we'll spend less time fighting our giants. More time preparing and less time on the battlefield. Are you with me? For some of us, I want to try to make this as practical as I can. Here's the easiest thing you can do. Every night, just take one of God's promises. Find a promise that's against the giant that you're facing, whatever that giant in your life is right now. Find a promise for it. And let that be the last thing that you fall asleep to. Just take one promise and hold on to it. As you lay there in bed, and let that be what you meditate on. But do you realize that what we do is all we do is we hear lies all day long. The media, the social media, our friends, all we hear is lies all day long and very little of the Holy Spirit because we're so preoccupied. And then we come home from a long day and we want to unwind before we go to bed. And what do? We sit down, we turn on the news and we hear about all the bad things going on around the world. Or we get on our phone and we look at the social media and we see what everybody else is doing and our life is terrible because everything's great in their world, evidently. I'm not so sure about that. And so we look at that and we think, why in the world am I waking up the next morning filled with anxiety and fear and depression? Or what if you're struggling relationally and all you're doing is you're listening to the worldly music that has this dysfunctional relationship tone to everything that they say? Can I tell you this morning, we got to stop feeding our giant and start defeating our giant. The easiest thing. The easiest thing you can do, and this is something I do. I'm not just making this up. The easiest thing you can do is at night before you fall asleep, you can just take a scripture. Let's take Romans 8:37. It's the verse that we've been talking about. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as you fall asleep and you get tucked into your bed and you're laying there, and you think to yourself, in all these things, in all these things, my wife, my kids, my job, my friends, in all these things, okay, all these things, we are more. That means I'm not alone. It's not just me. It's me and Jesus. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. More. It might take me a couple nights to figure out what all the more means. But a conqueror, that means I'm victorious. I'm victorious through him. Through him, Jesus. He's my Savior. It's not me that has to do it. He's the one that fights these battles for me. In him, through him that loved me. Oh, Jesus loves me. Can I tell you? That's the way we ought to go to sleep at night. I have an app on my phone, and this is no plug for them, but I have an app on my phone. It's called Abide. If you don't know about it and you want to try it, I highly recommend it. Go to the app store. It's free. It's called Abide. And what it's going to do is it's going to give you things to do during the day. But the one that I love the most is I got this ugly-looking little headband thing that Shelly bought me on Amazon. And I put it on, and I put it over my eyes, and it's got these two little soft speakers so you can lay on your side, whatever. And I hit this thing called Abide. And a man or a woman, and sometimes it's different people, they'll come on and they'll say things like, all right, it's time for you to settle in. I want you to breathe in the Spirit of God, and I want you to exhale all the things that's going on in your world today. And then it starts quoting scripture. And then the person's going to say, you know what? I want to pray for you. And they pray for me. They're going to pray for you if you do it. But she says, I want to pray for you. And they say this wonderful prayer over me. And then they begin to tell a story about something in the Bible. And I'll go to sleep to that every night. And I'm telling you, I'm sleeping better than I've slept in my life. And it's not because I believe in them. It's because I believe in the power of God's word and that his word is what sets me free and helps me defeat the giants in my life. Amen? Romans 10:17 says this. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see, the more that we hear about the finished work of Jesus Christ, the more faith that you and I are going to have, the more victory, the more freedom that we're going to find from the giants that are in our lives, in Jesus' name. I want you to stand with me this morning. I just want to ask you, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? My prayer this morning is that each and every one of us would find a new desire, a new passion to get into God's word. Because in here, yes, amen. Even heaven's agreeing with that. In here is where we're going to find victory, amen. We're going to find victory. And you know what I want? I want victory for you. I want victory for me. I want victory for Grace Point. I want us to be a victorious place. When people drive down that street, I want them to say, victory is found in that place because they know and understand and they have discovered and held on to the promises of God. And that's how you're victorious. If you're here this morning and now I just want those of you that know Jesus, but you don't spend the time that you know you need preparing so that you can spend less time on the battlefield. And you're tired of being on the battlefield all the time. This morning, I want to pray that God would encourage you, that God would put a desire and a burden upon you this morning to get into His Word and to study it so that you can discover and hold on to the promises of God so that you have the armor that you need when your giant comes against you. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and I'm just so thankful for your Word. God, how your Word comes in and it just rightly divides. And Father, Lord, I pray this morning, God, that each and every person in this room, Lord, as we've heard from you and your Word this morning through the Scriptures, God, that it's by your power and by your might, God, your Word is what we need to have in our life so that we can hold on to those promises and live victorious in our lives. So God, this morning, I pray for every person in here. God, put a new desire, a new burden, a new passion for your Word inside each and every one of us. God, so that we can live and walk in victory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. So thankful that you were here.